Welcome to The Pursuit of Purpose, a podcast made possible by SkyLife Success, a SkyPass Group company. Join Krish Dunham, an author and speaker whose messaging has been described as the junction where God's ability and man's availability meet hope's accessibility.
Well, greetings, everybody, and a warm hello to you. We're a little bit on the chilly side, but hopefully warming up here as well. Trust you are well wherever in the world you are, and I would like to personally welcome you again to another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose. This is something we try and do twice a week, if we can get to it, and share some ideas and thoughts about life in general. As the title of the podcast says, it is nothing more than the pursuit of purpose, and that's what we are all doing, trying to pursue something to find some kind of purpose and a semblance of reality in what seems haphazard and a crazy world at that. Thank you for the continued likes and the shares that go along with this. We encourage and welcome feedback, both at info@skylifesuccess.com and krish@krishdunham.com. Let us know what we can do better to keep you encouraged and enthused and empowered in these very seemingly unpleasant and chaotic times. I have decided over the course of the last 5 or 6 months to bend on the side of that which I think gives me a holistic view of life. And as such, I try to bring the doctrinal and the theological into the discussion because it does intersect at the point of man being tridimensional, that is a mental man who kind of anguishes, a physical man who sometimes languishes, but a spiritual man who is seeking and searching. Today's message actually comes from gospel truth, but it is going to have a sort of secular application to it. I've titled this, He is the Vine, We Are the Branches. He is the Vine. V-I-N-E, vine, like a grape vine. Within the confines of gospel truth, they talk about God being anchored in truth, God's roots being anchored in the validity of who he is as the creator of humanity. And the gospel writer says, we are the branches. So if God is the anchor, God is the stem, God is the one whose roots are anchored, and we are the branches, how can we take that in terms of application living, regardless of what you perceive to be truth or not? Do you believe in the identity that you have coming from a created order? Do you believe in the very being you are coming from a spiritual totality? Here are four truths I painted as far as he is the vine, we are the branches. First is our strength is in his roots. When you look at your own identity, when you look at the goals you set, the desires you have, the directions you pursue, the detours that are thrust upon you, and the deviations and calculations you have to make to get back on track, where does your strength come from? Do you rely on your own being? Do you rely on your own ability? Do you rely on your own government? Do you rely on your own constituency, your city, your chapter, or whatever it is? Or do you rely on the foundation truth that God is the vine and you're nothing more than a branch? That your strength is in his roots, your strength is in his ability, your strength is in the fact that he said, I am who I am. Your strength is in the fact that there is a God who is true, there is a God who is real, and there is a God who cares for you and looks for you. Now, there is no promise of God that guarantees you security or sanity during times of confusion. There is only a provision of God that I am who I am, and I will be where I always will be. I will always look out for you. Jonah ran, but he couldn't go very far. Abraham doubted God, but God chose him to be the seed of a generation. Rahab was a prostitute, and great lies were told to the spies who were going to come in, but along through her came a genealogy that resulted in deliverance. Naomi was a widow, and you go down the list of people. Many of these people had afflictions and problems. Now, if you don't want to look at biblical characters, because that again errs on the side or moves on the side of theology, and you want to look in the regular realm, almost everybody you see who had some kind of great paramounts of success came from some position of failure or fatality or some kind of fallenness. It was through these lessons that they learned that their roots were anchored in someone else. And whether it is a human being or whether it is God himself, the moment you look at the fact that you are connected to someone else through the roots they have, it gives you some kind of borrowed stability. Whether that is a cultural symbol for you, that is, you take your roots in your father's heritage or your cultural, generational living, whatever it is, our strength should be in someone else's roots. It is only when you draw strengths of roots that are solid, it is only when you draw nutrition from roots that are solid and are dependable, that you can then plant your own roots. The best example I can think of is a banyan tree, because as it kind of sprouts and its vines come down, they anchor themselves and create a never-ending cluster. As a result, one root actually is nourishing another root, and another root is nourishing another. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is our strength must be in the roots of others. And if the roots are those of God himself, the better you are for it. Second, our nourishment from his limbs. Now, I wrote a corollary piece to this. And if you want me to send you this little picture, send me an email again at krish@krishdenham.com, and I'll send you this pictorial that I created. But beneath the four motifs I painted, I wrote something very simple, but then someone said, hey, there is great complexity in this. Trying to deny the living tree that feeds us to keep us alive will result in starvation and death. Altering the purpose of our existence apart from our identity as his seed and the blossom will leave our spirits withered with hopelessness and weathered with fruitlessness. And to this end, maybe I am overtly theological, and hopefully you will bear with me as I try to give you this reference in the best way I know how, not just as a motivational speaker, but as someone who has relied on my own faith during some very dark and personally trying times. When I felt that I had to battle my vision and my identity of who I was as a person by myself, the struggle was so real and overwhelming that there were days when I just curled up on bed and I wondered if I could ever weather the storm. But then I thought to myself, how do people who are going through the storms of life even do it if they are not tethered to some anchor, if they are not funneled or captivated by something else that feeds them and gives them that fluidity of life? If my strength was not in his roots and my nourishment is not from his limbs, how do I gain the strength necessary to combat this daily barrage, this daily deluge of absolute negativity and horror when I turn on my television and I look at the way in which society functions and what they consider normative? I heard a headline recently that just absolutely shocked me, it appalled me, then it grieved me, and then finally it just sickened me. It seems we have arrived at a time where there was a man who was jilted by his girlfriend, and because he felt so egregiously assaulted by that betrayal, he put into her north of something like 20 bullets. And in killing her, he may have exacted his vengeance on someone who was a fellow human being. He decided that his betrayal was so great that he was not going to allow her to live. And in so facing his punishment, which should have been in itself something fitting, because there is no human being that can take on the judgment of God and decide to dole out punishment to someone else just because they feel like it. That's why we have laws, that's why we have a system, and that's why we have rules and regulations that prevent us from anarchy. But apparently a judge who was trying this case said there were some other extenuating circumstances that allowed him to do what he did. So not only are we not going to punish him, but we are going to take it upon ourselves to grant him leniency so that he can go out and walk as if nothing else happened. Now, I don't know the extent of what the judgment was, but anytime someone goes past one or two and gets to 20, then you kind of realize that the vengeance they're exacting is not just a justice delivering vengeance. It is human, inhumane, and barbaric to go that many times. When you hear of someone who has been stabbed 67 and 74 times, it now goes beyond the pale of self-defense or goes beyond the pale of even trying to exact a pound of flesh. It goes to that point of something that is inhumane. It is barbaric. It is cruel. And that's when you begin to ask yourself, is your strength coming from God-given rules? Is your nourishment coming from his limbs, which means you are anchored to him, you are tethered to him, and because he feeds from the Father, what he feeds to you is just and merciful? Is your replication as his fruit, or are you trying to become something just because you have your own individual desire? I remember some years ago a comedian pointed out, what do you plant to get seedless watermelon? And while it was one of the things that make you go, you begin to realize, regardless of whether the watermelon itself and its hybridization has no seeds, something had to be planted to give us a seedless watermelon. Something had to be planted to give us. So when you go into the grocery store aisles and you see something is fat-free, something had to be taken out. Some nutrient, some ingredient, some capacity, some artificial thing had to be put in its place to create the wholesomeness of whatever we see exists. We are not walking around in a vacuum. And that's why I love that old poem that was written by Arthur Guiterman, which was, I think, in the book Gayly the Troubadour. And many of you have heard me narrate this poem from rote in the past, but it goes like this. First, dentistry was painless, then bicycles were chainless. Then carriages were horseless and many laws enforceless. Soon cookery was fireless, telegraphy was wireless, coffee was caffeineless, and cigars nicotineless. Then oranges were seedless, the putting green was weedless, the college boy hatless, and the proper diet fatless. Today our motorways are dustless, our new steel are rustless, our tennis courts are sodless, and our new religions are godless. If you're not the branch of a vine where the strength is from his roots, if you are not the limb and the branch and the arm where the nourishment comes through those limbs because of his roots, if your replication as his fruit in this world as part of created order doesn't show that you were actually wonderfully and fearfully made, then the last component is almost an impossibility. You cannot blossom as his flower. People always ask me in these times of darkness, personal that are humiliating, professional that are vindicating, and sometimes, you know, victimizing. How do you put one foot in front of the other? How do you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, dust off yesterday's misery, and hope for tomorrow's mystery? How do you get up and do it if you have no faith? I know people do it without faith, but I cannot imagine for a second going through life, whatever it is, hard or harsh, and accomplishing anything without realizing that whatever strength I have comes from the roots of my Father God Almighty, in whose image I was created and whose image and likeness is in me and who gave me his intellect to fight this world. Not my words, his promise. If my nourishment does not constantly come from him, how then shall we live? Where do we go to get replenished? Where do we go to get refueled? Where do we go to get refurbished? If our replication is his fruit, if you look at fruit in a grocery store, you'll see them in many different wines. And I love eating fruit. And so when you go to the grocery store buying the bananas, my wife always says, why don't you buy them a little green? So as they ripen, we can actually enjoy them. And we can enjoy them on that perfect day when the spots are just a certain amount, not too dark to show that it has gone soft and rotten, or not too green when it shows that it is raw and eatable in some way, but just right, so that when you peel that skin and you pop that banana in your mouth, there is a nourishment that comes. But that's how God's nourishment is to us. No matter which one of his fruits that he gave on earth through the trees that he created and planted and provided for our nourishment, every one of them has a very unique and a delectable taste. It is quite fascinating when people stumble across a fruit that is not in part of their nature. Years ago, there was a show that he used to watch that talked about bizarre foods. And even though the man ate many bizarre foods, he ate some fruits in some of the stands in parts of Asia that you see and you don't recognize them. And then when he cuts them open with his knife and he tastes the texture of it, he says, oh, this feels like a cross between this and that. That's how God is in our lives, you know, even though we try to walk around in relative anonymity and try to walk around in absolution that we can capably handle whatever comes our way. God is giving us the opportunity to be tethered back to his roots, to be nourished through the limbs that he gives us as a connection to the tree that he is, because we are the branches. And our replication as his fruit, no matter how we blossom as his flower, how we flourish as his fruit, no matter how unique our taste is, it's a blend of something that God chose, a blend of something that is good, a blend of something that is hopeful, a blend of something that is righteous, that he packages in a way that when we arrive into our own as a denizen of this world, created in his mind, given his intellect, presented in his world to do his work in his field for his vineyard. The labor ultimately would be his, but we are given this unique package of being strengthened because of his roots, nourishment because of his limbs, replication as his fruit, and blossoming like his flower. My friends, let me read what I wrote again and then I'll hush. Trying to deny the living tree that feeds us to keep us alive will result in starvation and death. Lean on God today. Lean on him because he is the vine and you're just a branch. If you feel tethered or you feel weathered, if you feel dry or if you feel unnourished, if you feel unfertilized or if you don't feel like germinating, it is because you are not connecting yourself to the tree. The tree from which, on whose branch you are, gets its nourishment from the roots that is the Father, that is the righteousness, that is the one who made it all. I hope I wanted to connect this in a visible way so today you don't feel alone. That even if you are alone, even if you are lonely, you're not alone. You are the branch. He is the vine. You do not have to be physically attached to him. You have to be spiritually connected to him. Even though he is the tree, even though he is the vine, you are the branch wherever in the world you are. Wherever in the world you are flourishing and wherever in the world you're gaining the nourishment, the fruit that you will bear is fruit to his glory. The flower that you will show is the reflection of his majesty. Remember, he is the vine, and that vine is non-negotiable. He is the vine, so the roots that he has are not compromisable by us. Our branches connected to him can only get the food that he desires that we get because of the nutrition that he feels and knows we need. Trying to create your own flourishing, trying to create your own nourishing, trying to create your own nurturing leaves you empty because you're not connected to the source. We are just branches, my friend. Stay connected to the vine. Until next time, good luck, God bless, and hope you flourish.
And that concludes another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose with Krish Dunham, brought to you by Skylife Success. Please subscribe, rate, and visit us on the web at krishdunham.com and skylifesuccess.com, where you can find our social media links and access to additional resources. Till next time, happy learning and happy living.